Those beautiful songs. Book of Ecclesiastes tonight. Go back to the book of Ecclesiastes for a while and just kind of settle in there for a little bit. Great book of the Bible. Of course, I haven't found one yet. You can't say that about. Amen. Some you might classify as a little more difficult than others. But I like the difficult ones. Sometimes the difficult ones give me a whipping, and they give me a hard way to go. But anyway, that's the good part about it. Book of Ecclesiastes can be that kind of book. But it's a book for the day in which we live. As the writer, of course, the wisest man to ever live, Solomon. There's never been one wiser than he, and never will be. Because God blessed him with that wisdom. God blessed him with wisdom above all wisdom, simply because he asked for it. Amen. You think about that. Simply because he asked for it, God give it to him. Today, in verses 10 through 15, I entitled this message, God Has Put Some Things in Man. And you'll see where Solomon will talk about that. And I thought about eternity. God has put eternity in our hearts. Amen. Now you think about that. And we talked some this morning about desire, and we talked some about how God has placed certain things. And I believe that, and that's still happening today. God's still placing things in man's heart. You see, God never quits with his plan. Now, our world will want you to think that God's lost control and that, you know, it's all a chaos and it's all a mess. And I'll say this, the world's in a mess, but it isn't where God's concerned. Amen. God's still in control. God still knows what's going on. And for those that are living by the standards of the book, those that have put their trust in God, listen, we preached not too long ago, and we don't have to sit around twisting our hands and pulling our hair, wondering what's going on. We know what's going on. Amen? God's plan's still in effect. God's still in control. God still knows what he's doing, and he still has you on his mind. And he has put some things in your heart. Tonight, if you're a Christian, he has put this word in your heart. By the way, that's a forever word. It can't be removed. It can't be taken away. Oh, they may beat you up or they may threaten you, but they cannot take this word out of you. Amen. They can't do it. It's instilled. It's permanent. It has permanent effects. The word of God does. And I think Solomon, as he wrote this book. He was thinking, of course, I told you he's looking back down the road at a young generation coming up, and he was sharing with them some wisdom, some things he had personally learned himself. You see, some things you shouldn't do, some things you should do. Last week we talked about some positive things and some negative things. You know, we have positive things, we have negative things. Just because maybe you find yourself in a negative place tonight doesn't mean God has left. You see, it's part of God's plan. And God knows what he's doing. And so the gist of the whole matter is we must put our faith in God. We must. We could say that every day. We must put our faith in God because God is still in control. I don't know if you write in your Bible or not, but just prior to verse 10, you ought to write, God is still in control. Because he is. Amen. God is still in control. And eternity in the hearts of man. Sometimes things in our life are pleasant. Sometimes they are not. That's the way it is. God placed man. He gave man special privileges. And God has given man an eternal plan. He doesn't give that to anybody else. You see. He gave it to man. When man was created in the garden, you can go back in Genesis and read it. God gave him a special privilege, didn't he? a special place in God's plan. It started back there in the garden. You're seeing him. He let man have dominion over the things of the earth. Now man's messed that up, but God in his grace and mercy, man still has a place. A permanent place, a high place, what God has given us. Now let's look at our text tonight and let's read it, and then we'll kind of break it down just a little bit. Verse number 10. I've seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Now, oh, that man would listen to God. I thought about that statement. Oh, that man would listen to God. Boy, how much fewer troubles we would have if man would just listen to God. I don't know how in the world, I don't know what it takes to get people to understand that God speaks to us and he gives us a plan to live by and he gives us a schedule and he gives us a laid out perfect plan that we should follow. But so many men close the book and have no idea what the plan is. And so they're not following what God's plan is. They're not listening to God. Oh, that God would speak to me. I've had people say, oh, that God would speak to me. Then open the pages of his book and get ready, because that's how he talks. Amen. That's how he talks to you tonight, through his word. And that man would listen to God. All our troubles come because man refuses to listen. Nothing happens, folks, that God doesn't know about and that God allows. Amen. You got to understand that. God allows things to happen. You know why? Because man won't listen. And so God has to allow things to happen sometimes. These are the things that pertain to God, and they cannot be taken away. Let's look back now at verse 10. We'll take this verse by verse tonight and just give you a few thoughts out of it. And hope you can take something home with you out of it tonight. Verse number 10. Got to remember verse number 10. Now he's bouncing off of what we read last week. He gave us all those things. There's a time, you know, the time for this and the time for that. And we broke all that down last week. Now he's bouncing off of that here as he comes into verse number 10. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. I have seen the travail. Now this word travail means the task or the endeavors. I've seen the task that God has given man, both positive and both negative. You see, God has given us a task and God has seen the troubles that it has caused man. Now listen to me. The tasks that God has given us, how do we handle those tasks? And sometimes there's positive things. I like the positive things of life. I like the good things. Those are easier to handle. But what about the negative things that comes our way? By the way, God knows when you're in them. Amen. And God knows when they have come your way, and God sees the trouble that it causes in our lives, and both positive and negative. He has seen the trouble that it's caused. So much of our task and problems occupy so much of our time. A lot of times when trouble comes, when we should be turning to God, you know what happens? We just go the other way, don't we? We don't turn to God. We try to solve our own problems. And we try to figure out our own problems. And then these problems begin to occupy so much of our time that we're missing what God has said. We're missing what God, the purpose, let me tell you, the purpose for the place you are, God's got a purpose. And if you'll stay with Him, that purpose will come to the forefront. But if you get out of the will of God and decide, I'm going to figure this thing out on my own, I'm going to go out here, then you've missed where God wanted you to be in the trouble. Are you with me? You have to stay with God. These troubles can occupy our time. By the way, I have seen times my own self when troubles come that I find myself caught up in those troubles. And I'm caught up in the worries of those troubles. And I'm spending my time thinking, now, what have I got to do? And how? Now, I'm not telling you that we got to sit around and be lazy bums. I'm not telling you that. God would have us to get up and get busy and do some things. But listen, the number one thing He would have us to do is to have faith in where He's got us at the time He's got us. Amen. He would have you and I to put our faith in Him. He never did tell us we wouldn't have any problems, did He? Matter of fact, if we didn't have any problems, well, we would just become spoiled brats. Amen. It is the love of God that drives us to the house of God. But it is the problems of our lives that brings us to our knees so many times, seeking God's help. Now, the sad part about it is, and this is the sad part of it, we shouldn't wait till problems come to bring us to our knees. Amen? We should come to our knees all the time. I believe then we could ward off a lot of problems. Amen. But nonetheless, God has seen the travail. God has seen the task that man has. And He goes on in verse 9 to say, which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised therein. And that word, to be exercised therein, means with which to be occupied. You see, it's what occupies us. Now look at verse 11. He hath made everything. Now notice what He says. He being who? God hath made everything. Everything. Beautiful in His time. Now I want you to pay attention to what He's saying here. God hath made everything beautiful. First of all, you must know what the word beautiful means. The word beautiful here means pleasant and fitting. You see, God made everything fitting for you and I. Wherever we are, it fits in where you and I are. Amen. He's made everything fitting. Tomorrow when you wake up, God has placed you in that day. It may be sunshining or there may be rain may move in your day. But God's placed you there. And whatever it is, it's beautiful in God's time. Amen. Because God knows what you need when you need it. And He's made everything beautiful in His time. God made everything so we could enjoy and use. Amen. You think about that. You think about all the things God has made. I'm not talking about things man's made. I'm talking about things God has made. The sunshine. By the way, man can't make sunshine. He can't. You see. Think about the rain. Man can't make rain. You see. And some days are full of sunshine. I like sunshiny days. They're pleasant, aren't they? Get out there in the sun and take it in. Feels good. It's good for you. You know there's vitamins in that sunshine. Do you know that? Well, God put it there. He designed it. We like it. But guess what? Tomorrow it might be raining. It's beautiful. Amen. It's beautiful. Go out there and stand and look up and let it wet your face. It's beautiful. You know why it's beautiful? It's good for you. If you don't believe me, if you could, you can't, but ask old Ahab. if rain ain't beautiful. Amen. When you go without it for a little while, you gladly stand out in it. It's beautiful. You know, cloudy days. You know, I don't like cloudy days as well as I do sunshiny days. But they're beautiful. Now, when you speak from a spiritual point, there's times in our life when we have sunshine. Amen. God gives us sunshine and we feel good. Then there's times in our life when we have cloudy, rainy days. We don't feel as good. But let me tell you what. God has made everything beautiful in His time. Enjoy God. Enjoy where God has placed you. And I think that's the thing that Solomon is trying to tell this young generation. Listen, you're missing the things God has for you. God has made everything beautiful and pleasant and fitting. Ugliness doesn't come from God. Ugliness comes from sin. God has put into the heart of every man the ability to appreciate things of God here and now and in eternity as well. Now think about that. Even though tonight you and I cannot fully understand God and His plan, we can enjoy what God is doing. I don't understand all that God does. I don't understand mercy and grace. Though He gives it. Amen. Romans 11 and 33, the Bible says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out." You see, what we must understand is that God has given us all we need to understand today, and not only today, but the future down the road. We just got to trust what God's doing. We don't need astrologers, and we don't need soothsayers. We don't need people to tell us the future. I can never figure people going to these people to tell you your future. Give me the palm of your hand. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? These people that'll predict your future. Well, I can tell them what my future is. It ain't here. Amen. Yeah, I know where it is, and I know where I'll be. But, you know, people pay big-time money. And these people on these TVs, these mediums, I think they call them. Is that what it is? Whatever they call them. They see what's going to happen to you. And then there's people out there that'll call Grandma and went down here to talk to you. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Amen. I loved my grandma. Boy, did I. But you know, next time I want to talk to her, it'll be somewhere else, not here. Amen. She's been gone since September the 20th, 1983. I remember that day. It's like it was yesterday. But I know if I went to somebody and tried to call her back, she might come. She might say, "You big dummy, what are you doing?" Amen. I'm telling you, we don't need soothsayers. We don't need astrologers. We don't need nobody to tell us what our future is. If you're a child of God, you ought to know what it is. Amen. You ought to know who it is. Right? It's in Christ. It's in the Word of God. Read the Bible. It'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. It'll tell you exactly where you'll be. Probably not too far from now. You see, we need to stick with the Word of God. And God has given us all we need. And we need to stay with it. We don't need Him. I thought about Isaiah. Oh, in Isaiah 47 and verses 12 through 15. Here's what he said. "Stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counselors. Let now the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly procrastinators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. That's what he's saying. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter, and none shall save thee. You'll see, there's no power in them. There's power in God. Verse number 12. I know that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. There's no better way than God's way. Man has lots of ideas, and some of those are good, and some are not. But if man is going to rejoice tonight, then man must come God's way. And by the way, this involves doing and rejoicing in what God has given us. You'll find no greater pleasure tonight than to do what God says. Become a student of the Word of God, and you'll find joy there. You see, there's no good in them, and there's no good in us. And if a man's going to rejoice, he's going to do good. If he's going to do good, he's going to know the Word of God. Amen. Let's go to verse 13. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Now, we must learn to enjoy what God sends our way. God gives us things, doesn't he? He orders our day. He knows our way. He blesses in both the good times and the bad times. Aren't you glad in your life when bad times comes, God has a blessing in them as well? You see, the good times, the blessing's easy to find. The bad times, sometimes you've got to find it. But it's there. God's blessing is there. Enjoy, number one, you can enjoy that you are a child of God. That's an everyday enjoyment. That's an every moment enjoyment. You know, if you wake up in the morning and the pains of life has got you barely moving, you're still a child of God. Amen. Just remember now, tomorrow, if you're moaning and groaning and aching and complaining, remember that one of these days you'll have a new body. Because you're a child of God. Amen. So enjoy that you're a child of God. Give thanks for what God is doing. On the way, show enjoyment in thanksgiving. Be thankful for what God has done. I thought about the one leper in the book of Luke. You remember? The one leper. There was 10 of them, fellas. But there was one that didn't forget where he came from. There was one leper returns. You know why this one leper returns? Because he was thankful for what the Lord had done for him. Rest of them forgot him. But he was thankful for what he has done. Look here, Luke 17, verse 11 through 19. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now all 10 of them's in this congregation, aren't they? And they're all crying out to Jesus to have mercy on us. And when he saw them, the Lord looked at them. The Lord looked upon them. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go shew yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They were healed. And one of them, now where's the rest of them? And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Look here. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They're not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. You know what I think? I think that one guy got a better blessing than the rest of them got. Amen. You see, it didn't take long for them to forget what God had done for them. I wonder today how many of us are mindful of what God does for us. You know, when we get up day by day. Now, you know, this is tonight. This is a good, I don't even know how many's here tonight, but it's a good crowd. It's a good Sunday night crowd. But we ought to have as many here tonight as we had this morning. Amen. There shouldn't be seating room in the evening. You know why? Because God's the same tonight as he was this morning. And God has blessed us as much tonight as he did this morning. Amen. And I commend you for being here. It shows your love for God and your appreciation for what God has done for you. You're like the one that has come back to say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Amen. That's what we need. You see, he's telling us here, to enjoy the things that God has given you. Enjoy the good of all his labor. It's a gift of God. God has blessed us. He wants us to enjoy him. But let's don't forget where they come from. Amen. When you sit down to eat your meal, do you thank God for it? You know, we went up yesterday, several of us from the church here, and we packaged those little food for the Hunger Challenge. And we had a good time. We had a lot of fun packaging that food up. And they're going to ship that everywhere. But they showed us a video of those people getting that little package of food. Starving. People starving. No food. Didn't even have drinking water. And you know what? That there was a little, they should have been a little boy, a little bitty boy. I don't know how old he was. He was blowed out belly, hugging that little bag of food. I wonder how much we wasted today. You ever think about that? You know, and after a while, we'll go back home and we'll probably have some leftovers. I'm not doubting that because I will too. But what I'm saying is, are we grateful for it? Are we thankful for what God has blessed us with? Verse 14, Bible says, and I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. He says, I know that. I know that. Hey, there are some things concerning God we should know. He is good. He does all things well. He deals in eternity. What God created in the beginning still works today. What God placed in my heart when I got saved still works today. Amen. You see, I know that it still works. We need not change what God is doing. James 1 and verse 17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above. And he cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Amen. All good comes from God. We must fear God. We must have a respect for God and what God is doing tonight in our lives. Many times in the Bible, we are told to fear God. And by the way, in the last part of this chapter, he says, and God doeth it that men should fear before him. Many times in the Bible, we are told to fear God. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13, the Bible says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. Psalm 19:9, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, and the judgments of the Lord are true and righteousness altogether. And then Psalm 22 and 23. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye, the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye, the seed of Israel. You see, what is he talking about? We are to respect our God. We are to respect his name for who he is, for what he does, and how he does it. He is deserving of that tonight, and we must do it. In verse 15, and we'll finish tonight. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. We're all under God's control. He knows what is past. He knows what's going on today. And guess what? He knows what will happen tomorrow. Amen. And you and I have to trust that. And you know what he's saying here? We will all give an account to God for our lives. God's going to require that which is past. We're going to give an account for the things that we've done for Christ. Now, he's not going to, we're not going to give an account for our sins. You know why? Our sins are under the blood. But we'll give an account for what we've done for Christ from the time we got saved. Whether we was faithful to his house, whether we was faithful to his word, whether we was faithful to witness, whether we was faithful to do what he told us to do. You see, it's just not a get saved and sit down type of thing. It's a get saved and get busy type of thing. Proclaim the name of Christ. Be thankful for the things of God. You know, it could be us tomorrow in dire need. It could be us in the future hugging a bag of food that we're glad to see. But God has blessed us. And you know what? People have become so unthankful today for what God has given them. We take a lot of things for granted. We go home and we kick back in the chair. And I'm going to get set. I do it myself. And we'll have us a bowl of potatoes. I'll have potatoes and I go home. You know why? Because that's what I have for dinner. I had a big old pot roast. And I had some potatoes and I had some onions and some carrots in on that baby. When I got home, it was as tender as you want it to be. You see, I got some of that stashed away. When I go home, I'm going to have me a little slop of that. I know what you're thinking. He doesn't need it. Well, that's beside the point. Amen. What I'm saying to you tonight is God has blessed us. Amen. God has blessed us. And we take a lot of that for granted. But we ought to say thank you, Lord. As we look down through our lives and all the good times and the bad times, and we see how God has brought us through all of them, the positive and the negative, he's brought us through. Oh, we might have a little scars on us, but he's brought us through. And he'll continue to do so. We've got to have faith in him. You know, who knows what tomorrow holds? I'm glad he does. Amen. Tommy, come on, let's sing. We're going to sing tonight, and if you're here tonight and you need to be saved, well, now's the time. If you're here tonight, you just want to pray for something or somebody, well, the altars are here. The Lord will speak to you. But be thankful for what God has given you. And be thankful for what God has put in you. God has put some things in us. He's put eternity in us. Amen. Especially if you're saved today. God has put eternity in you. This world's not your home, you see. You're just passing through. And God's blessing us all along the way. But boy, one of these days, he'll bless us in that new home that he has put in our hearts. Let's stand.